Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 7 till the hour. Don't want to miss any time we have with our good friend, Mr. Austin Kiplinger, celebrating his 94th birthday, the 89th anniversary of the Kiplinger Letter, all in one interview. We've been doing this now for 14 years, Mr. Kiplinger, since 1998. This is our 15th, I think probably our 15th visit. And I want to thank you so much for the time you give us every year and for the perspectives that you share with us.
It's always a pleasure, Jim. Let's go for 25.
I'm ready. I like it.
Good.
Mr. Kiplinger, talk to us about something that's really in the news these days, especially this week. And that's the future and the viability of Israel as a nation in the middle of a lot of people who don't like it. What do you think?
Well, of course, nobody knows exactly how it's going to turn out or what we ought to do. But one thing that I keep reminding myself of is that the Middle East is tribal. You know, and we have to remember that. The Middle East is tribal. Look at all the stands: Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Pakistan.
And inside of each one of those stands are 100.
There are
a lot of
different tribes, yeah. And they're all fighting individually among themselves. Now, it may sound like an insult to Israel to say that it's tribal, and I don't think it is. But as far as the rest of the Middle East thinks, they're still thinking in tribal terms.
Yeah.
And Israel thinks more in Western governmental terms, and the Middle East is thinking in old-fashioned tribal terms.
Right.
And I don't know how you resolve that. It's been going on for so many thousands of years.
What should America's position be there? I mean, Iran, you know, one thing about it, Israel has never been as much in jeopardy with a stated enemy, a vehement, vociferous enemy as they are now with Iran getting close to getting a nuclear weapon. What should America's position be on with this?
Well, that's the $64 billion question, and I don't know the answer. But I think that Israel has been poised and ready to hit the atomic facilities for a long time. I have friends in the espionage and the intelligence world who thought that it was going to come long before now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've been restrained to a large degree by the United States, despite what Mr. Netanyahu says.
Mm-hmm.
I think they don't want to go it alone, and I'm not sure whether they will go it alone. I think they're going to talk big, but try to get the rest of the world.
Do you believe that Iran will do what they say they will do if they have a weapon?
You know, I wonder about that because it seems to me they know that they would set off their own destruction.
But Netanyahu says something. I wrote about this 10 years ago. The mutually assured destruction prevented us from doing something stupid during the 50 years of the Cold War. I'm not sure that that fits the radical Islamist philosophy, though.
Well, I don't know either. And I always ask myself, when in the long course of a growing threat, should democracies take action? When I think back on the Hitler days, and I was growing up during those days, and I knew what was happening, or at least as well as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And was there a point somewhere in history along that period of time from the 1930s and before World War II broke out? Was there a time when we should have taken action? I don't know. This is a similar situation.
If you read George S. Seldes' book, he'll tell you that. He'll tell you when that time is. He wrote about that in Witness to a Century.
Yes. Well, the one problem is that it takes a lot of preparation.
Well, what he was saying was, is America denied what was going on over there.
Well, that's true. That is actually.
And I wonder if that's not a parallel to this right now.
I was a young student in college, and I was an internationalist, as we used to call ourselves.
Yeah.
An interventionist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was a dirty word around the country.
Right.
Because most people were isolationists.
Mr. Kiplinger, I need to wrap it up. I've got about 45 seconds. What are your last thoughts to my audience?
Well, I'll tell you what an old friend told me. He said, just hang in there, and sooner or later somebody will mistake longevity for merit.
What a
and
great...
I try to live by that.
I love that. Mr. Kiplinger, I just want you to know that you are... talking to you is the high point of my year, and I'm so proud of what you and your organization have done. I'm so glad to know you and to call you a friend, and it's just been great to have you here. America is better off because we have Austin Kiplinger.
Well, I thank you, Jim, and let's do it again.
I'm ready. We'll do it again sooner, if not later. Thank you for
That's
being
right.
here. And happy birthday, by the way, and happy anniversary, too.
And thanks again.
Austin Kiplinger, ladies and gentlemen, celebrating his 94th birthday and the 89th anniversary of the Kiplinger Letter. Wow. How about that, folks? That's all I got to say is wow. Every year I say that. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks. I'll be back tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.